Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of The Sports Market here on Shooting the Sports-ish. Welcome in, guys. My name is Cam, back here with another episode. Appreciate you guys joining in here and following along with us in the sports market. A couple things at the top of the show. I want to give a quick shout out, obviously, to the company that this entire episode or show is centered around, Symbol. Head over to symbol.app/shootsportsish if you haven't yet already. If you're already in Symbol, and you're in the market, you're trading away there, welcome. This is your first time coming over and seeing the sports market. Welcome in. Would love you guys to head over to Symbol Exchange on YouTube. KJ is doing an incredible thing, and those guys are doing absolutely amazing stuff. They're building and growing every single day. They're doing an opening bell every morning. It's about 6 to 7 minutes, and they're just looking at the landscape of Symbol and the market for the quote-unquote opening bell. Now, Symbol obviously has no opening or closing bell. It is 24/7. It is the market that never sleeps. But definitely head over there, check them out. Please like and subscribe there. Follow them for all the up-to-date information on Symbol. For somebody that's in a bunch of different markets like I am, and I'm sure a lot of other people are, it makes no sense to be in a market that you aren't constantly getting information on at least once a day, right? If you're in the stock market, if you're in the foreign exchange market, whichever market you choose to be in, it doesn't make any sense to not have information from those markets that you're trading coming to you every single day. It doesn't make any sense to not have some outlets there. So for the Symbol market, I would love to be one of your outlets. I would love that, but I'm only here once a week. Go to Symbol Exchange. Go to the place that has started this whole thing and where it all began. Head over there, youtube.com/Symbol Exchange. Subscribe there. Follow them and what they're doing. They're absolutely incredible with what they're doing. If you guys want to show us some love, you can follow us on all of our major platforms at Shoot Sports Ish. We are also, our website is www.shootingthesportsish.com. You can get all of our written and find all of our video content there as well. We're on Spotify, we're on iTunes. So just really excited, wanted to get that out of the way at the very beginning. But would love for you guys to head over and find us on Shoot Sports Ish. If you want to find me, I'm on Twitter at CM Says Stuff. I am on Instagram at CM Says Stuff as well. And then you can find me on Facebook at CM Says Stuff. So there you are. But welcome in. A weird kind of week that I want to look at. A really funny thing that we have to start at the beginning, right? So Symbol does this incredible thing where they allow us to see every trade or offer that is being made currently, either filled, trades that have been filled, and what they were filled at, what the market price they were filled at, was the percentage gained and lost on that fill as well, and then the offers that are being set. So what people want to come to the table to offer their particular stock for, to see if there's a market for it. The Mets have just been... somebody has taken control of all of the Mets stocks, I believe. There are, it looks like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There are 18, 19, 20 Sim Mets stocks that have been filled, trades that have been filled today. The Sim Mets are at the 20 mark, and there's still four more offers. Bids to be filled as well. So somebody really trying to corner the Mets market, not mad at them. And quite frankly, I absolutely love seeing that. Don't know what it is. I don't know who you are. I would love to talk to you. I don't know if all of the mothers of the Mets players each bought a share in the Mets on Symbol. I hope that's the case. If so, congratulations, moms and dads. You should be proud of your sons. But just something kind of really funny and I think comical that needed to be talked about there at the beginning. But the Mets, the hottest commodity that you could possibly have right now, because somebody went and effectively bought all of their stock, which is absolutely insane. They've gone from 2750. So they were at 20. Let's do a little bit of percentage math here. If you don't have a percentage calculator, by the way, you really need to get one. It's free on the phone if you can't, if you're not a mathematical genius such as I am not. They were at 2775 on March 23rd. As of right now, on March 30th, they're just over the $32 mark as their market price. They've grown 16%. In the last week. So big move for the Mets there. Whoever is getting a hold of them obviously really likes them and wants to see, you know, thinks that there's high upside for the Mets. I'm not inclined to disagree with them. I think there's definitely high upside for the Mets, especially moving forward with that new regime, what they're trying to do in the front office and the product they're trying to put out on the field. So I think three of the first 6 minutes of the show on that, but absolutely had to. That was incredible. We're going to head over to the hardwood. We're going to talk about the NBA trade deadline came and went. It was, I think, slower and more quiet than people thought it was going to be. But a couple of moves that we definitely want to talk about. My sleeper, I'm going to start with the sleeper. I think that an absolute sleeper move, excuse me, was Aaron Gordon and moving to play with Jokic. I think that is just a wild pairing. And I really enjoyed that because you know, we're going to get into, the moves that the Lakers made, obviously the moves that the Nets made, the move that Miami made, the moves that Orlando made. But, you know, in the middle of Orlando kind of having their full sell-off, which everybody thought was coming, so it really didn't surprise anybody. But to send Aaron Gordon to Denver, getting back RJ Hampton and some picks as well, I really like Aaron Gordon playing next to Jokic and playing in that Denver system. I think he can do a lot of good in Denver. I think he makes them deeper than they were. And the good news is for Denver is they didn't have to give up much as far as quantity or high or top end of the roster. A guy like RJ Hampton, you know, could end up being very, very good, right? You know, young players just trying to figure it all out, trying to find run time. So he could absolutely be very good, right? But as far as right now goes, the Nuggets didn't really give up much in order to get Aaron Gordon. I really like that move. I think this makes the Nuggets a players for the Western Conference Final now because they have a little bit more depth, take a little bit more pressure off Jokic. They have a good defender. Gordon can spread the floor. He can put the ball on the floor and make some moves from the four position. I really like how he fits there. The market didn't really react to Aaron Gordon at all. The Nuggets have been stable at $36.16 a share for really the last week. So while some of us thought it was a good move, the market didn't really care. Let's go to the Magic, though. The Magic give up Vucevic, they give up Fournier, and they give up Aaron Gordon. So they trade all of them away, but the haul that they got back, I really like. I am very bullish on this Magic team now long term. I think they got a ton of picks back. They got a crop of young players, especially the Vucevic trade to Chicago, I think was kind of the cornerstone there. Getting a Wendell Carter, another young athletic big, which seems to be Miami's MO, getting a guy like Otto Porter, getting a guy like RJ Hampton, and then getting some picks back so you're having that equity, that draft equity that everybody really wants. This allows them to do a few things. Now, the first thing that this allows them to do is this allows the Magic to have a little bit of freedom to make some trades or to make some moves in the free agency. They have a crop of young talent that they can move on from some of them and with picks to go get a big splash name in a trade. They've got a little bit more money to work with now, so they could go make a big signing. The biggest thing here is Steve Clifford signed his four-year contract in 2018 and has not been extended yet, and we're in year 2021. So that is something to take a look at. Do the Magic think that Steve Clifford is the guy that's going to take this young nucleus and get him moved forward? I think there are three teams that kind of find themselves in this mold right now. Two more specifically, because one is playing very well, and that is the Knicks, the Magic now, and the Rockets. The Magic and the Rockets are more comparable right now because the Knicks are winning, and who knew that when you gave Tom Thibodeau a group of young, hungry players that he could go out there and find some wins, right? And didn't see that coming. So the Magic and the Rockets very much so in the same boat. They sold everything off. Everybody knew it was coming. You get a haul of picks and younger players back, and you sift through everything, and you try and get it figured out. Do the Magic go the route of the Rockets and go find that young 40, under 40 assistant coach that everybody in the NBA loves, the next big thing in the assistant coach world, bring them on? Do they go try and coax another coach away from what he's doing? Do they go to the college ranks? Do they go to Becky Hammon? Do they go to Tim Duncan? Do they go, you know, where are the Magic going to go? Or do they re-sign Clifford and give him an extension? That's the biggest question mark for me right now. But the Magic as a whole and what they're doing, very bullish on. I really enjoyed that. They won the trade deadline because they got back a crop of young talent and picks that they needed to get back because they knew who they were giving away. They were going off of Fournier, Vooch, and Aaron Gordon. They knew that going in. Could they get a haul back that was worthy of giving those three guys up and resetting this year and potentially next year to move forward? I think the answer was yes. So really like what the Magic did there. We can take a look at the Nets. The Nets land LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin at the trade deadline, which is absolutely insane what they're able to do. This stock, though, very interesting. You know, the stock on the 26th was trading just at $49. We'll call it $49 a share. As of right now, after 3 days, it has moved down to $44.14 a share. This net stock is down almost 10%. It's a little interesting to see what's going on. They've reloaded. Your starting five is now Kyrie, Harden, Durant, Blake Griffin, and LaMarcus Aldridge. Some version of that. Now you have DeAndre Jordan coming off the bench as well. They got deeper. I believe they got better. I believe LaMarcus Aldridge is an upgrade from DeAndre Jordan at the center position. I believe Blake Griffin in that 15 to 20 minute range can give them exactly what they need. So very interesting there. I think they're shoring up. You know, they are letting everybody know that they're coming for the title, right? We knew that when James Harden showed up. We knew that when Kyrie and KD showed up. It was re-announced to us when Harden went there, but now it's really cemented in what they're being able to do. As a stock, though, I wonder if they're a little oversold right now. And that's what we're seeing is that correction back from the market. Trying to figure out where all the pieces go, trying to figure out what they have to offer, getting closer to the playoffs. I think this stock, it's at $44 right now. I'd imagine there's a little bit of a pullback. I definitely think this stock gets above 50 by the end of the year, by the championship, you know, series, which I expect Brooklyn to be in, just because of the sheer talent that they have in their roster that they somehow got to put together. You know, good for them, good work in their front office to create what they've created and bring all these pieces together. I think we're in a little bit of a correction right here. I think we see this correction kind of fizzle out, you know, in the next week or so. And then I think we see that next move to the upside, which will break that 50 barrier. I think they'll get above $50 a share. So that's the last one that I want to look at. So I'm kind of checking off my notes here as we go along. I have a legal pad. So I think that means that I know when you have a legal pad and you're talking about stocks and trading, I think that automatically makes you an expert. So this is my legal pad of notes. That was weird. You could see through it. Very strange. The last team that I want to talk about is the Miami Heat. So the Heat make a move with the Rockets. And it was a move the Heat needed to make. The Rockets didn't get back exactly what they wanted, right? You get back two players that aren't much for anything and a pick swap. But Miami, I think, got exactly what they needed. They gave up a small portion of their team. Small, minimal, almost nothing. And got back, as a rental, Victor Oladipo. So they got back a rented Oladipo for the next 3 months. Oladipo will fit into this roster very well. You have him and Jimmy Butler as your 1-2. That's two of the better defensive 1-2 punches in the NBA, I think. Then you bring in your Bam, you bring in Duncan, you bring in Tyler Wright. You start adding the rest of that group around them. And if you mix in Oladipo, this Miami team, now they're on a little six-game skid, or they were on a little six-game skid. So they're gonna have to bounce back from that. And they've been a very up-and-down team this year anyways. They're starting to find their footing. They're finally in the top, the upper side of the seedings, or at least they're playing in that area. I love what the Heat did. I'm surprised that the stock didn't move as much as it did. I know on the 26th or the 27th, it was trading at almost 35 and a half. And after it traded at 35 and a half, it came back a little bit to now trading right on the dot at $34. That's about 4.2% to the negative side on this stock. I didn't think it would come back. I thought it would make a little bit more of a move, especially when you take into consideration what they gave up and what they got back. Now, I think the biggest reason why is because they play in the East, and the Nets took over the news with everything that happened. So I think everybody was just kind of looking at the Nets and what they were able to do. And I think maybe that kept some people off of some of those other two through five seeds that are competitive in the East right now. The only other thing we could look at on the East, the Celtics. The Celtics went out and got Evan Fournier on the 24th. This stock was trading at $36 a share on March 24th. It's now currently trading off at $38.86 a share. That's an 8% increase almost over this last week. I don't know if that was exactly Fournier. A lot of people, I think, may criticize Boston in giving up Fournier, or not in giving up Fournier, but in going to get Fournier, not going to get somebody else. Time will tell with that. That he definitely brings depth to their guard position. He just had his first game with the team, did not go as planned. He definitely brings depth to the guard position. I think this is something that could help Boston moving forward, getting into the playoffs with their depth, with their wanting to run. So we'll see what happens there with the Celtics. Again, they're up over the week. Miami trending down over the week, even with the move to get a guy like Victor Oladipo, who goes right back to the Eastern Conference, where he had been with Indiana for so many years. So to finish out, we're going to move over to the NFL. We're going to stay away from Major League Baseball for another week. We've got things that are happening right now, but I can't wait for those stocks to get on the field and get in play and start seeing what the moving is, the movement is happening there. So the last thing we're going to talk about, it's on the gridiron. So I think everybody knows exactly what we're talking about. The Dolphins, an absolute clinic on running a front office heading into a draft, an absolute clinic. They end up getting a haul of picks back. They end up at six. the 49ers end up at 3 and Philly ends up at 12. Absolutely brilliant by the Dolphins and what they were able to do. We saw a little bit of movement. They're kind of stagnant right now. They really haven't moved in the last week. They're steady at just about that 37-40-ish range per share. But just brilliant. Brilliant what they're able to do. They've moved into 6. They didn't need to get a quarterback, so moving off of 3 was not a big deal. They are going to go get an explosive offensive player. You would think it's going to be, whether it's Devontae Smith, Jamar Chase, Jalen Waddle, Kyle Pitts, 3 of those 4, at minimum 2 of those 4 are going to be there. 3 of those 4 might be there. The way this draft is going, who knows if all 4 of those guys are going to be there at 6, right? It looks like it's going to go quarterback 1, 2, 3. It could be QB at 4. We could see 4 quarterbacks go off the board, 1, 2, 3, 4, and that leaves Miami wide open at 6, really, to almost have their pick of the litter. So very interesting for Miami. They position themselves in an incredible spot. This is a stock that I believe will continue to rise. The question now for them is Tua the guy? That's the only question they really have to answer. They did everything they needed to do in the free agency this offseason. They've made the best trades that they could have possibly made to position themselves in the draft where they necessarily need to be. They're going to get an offensive weapon at 6. Then they've got another pick, and then they've got all their second round picks. Like, they're going to have a great draft, at least in the first 2 rounds. They're going to make the right decisions. The biggest question mark now is Tua the day in and day out guy? I think Tua is the day in and day out guy, so I'm bullish on this Dolphins team, especially at $37. They're the 8th highest traded stock in Sim NFL. Really love where they are. The 49ers, actually the 5th highest traded stock. I'm going to be honest with you. I have no idea why the 49ers are traded so high. I understand that they had a lot of injuries last season. And now that they're up to 3, they're probably going to take a quarterback. They've come out and said that Jimmy G might be their guy for this year. Some have kind of avoided the question. Some people don't really know where Jimmy G is with them, where he is in their plans. I'm not saying that the 49ers, this is a lot of trust in their front office. This is a lot of trust in Hall of Famer John Lynch and what they're being able to do. I don't get why this stock is traded so high. I understand there's upside. I'm not saying the 49ers are terrible. I understand that there's upside to the 49ers, and I understand that there is a core in there that would be fun to have around you. I just don't understand why they're being traded at almost $40 a share and are the 5th highest traded stock in Sim NFL. I don't understand that. I think they're massively overbought right now, especially off of a 6-10 season. And you could say, well, there was a lot of injuries. They're going to be healthy. Okay, I need to see them coming back off those injuries. They were still injured, right? So that's 6-10. That's what I have to go by. So the 49ers, they're very highly traded. I think they're overbought. I really do. I think there's going to be a market correction there by week 3 or 4. That's my prediction. I could be wrong, but that's my prediction. And the last of the trio that I want to talk about, the Sin Eagles. I'm not mad at what they did. I think a lot of people are taking this time to laugh at Philadelphia for being the loser of another trade or the loser of another situation. Some of the jokes are pretty funny. I got to be honest with you. So I definitely laugh at them. I don't really see this as that, though. I think moving down to 12, they're still going to get an offensive weapon. They didn't need to stay as high as they were in their mind because Jalen Hurts is their guy. And if they believe that Jalen is their guy, why stay at 3? Why not move back, try and get some capital, try and get some draft equity back, take a couple of spots back, and be sitting where you feel like you need to be sitting to get the player that you need to get in order to start filling that offense around Jalen Hurts. I'm not mad at what Philly did at all in the trade. Now, coming off of a 4-11 season, I'm not saying that the trade will make them 8-8 or 9-7. I think they still have a long ways to go, but I don't, people will call them the de facto loser of this trade. And, you know, while I can't stop everybody from saying everything they want to, I would offer the idea of look at where they think they are right now. And where they think they are is they have their guy in Jalen Hurts. So move back a little bit. There's a ton of wide receiver depth in this draft. A lot of wide receiver depth in this draft. They're going to be able to find a wide receiver, an offensive weapon to draft in the area that they're in. Put all your eggs into the Jalen Hurts basket. Show him that you're 100% committed to him. And go start finding your offensive weapons. Have a really good draft. Let's build out of the draft. And let's try and get a little bit better than 4-11 with Jalen Hurts. And while doing that, you're reaffirming to Jalen your 100% confidence in him by not staying in an area of the draft where quarterbacks will be taken. So I think there's a little bit there on every side. Again, the Dolphins, just a clinic of how to trade in a draft, or at least around, you know, the draft is the focal point of that trade. The 49ers get to 3. They get a chance to take a quarterback, which they feel like they need. I have no idea why they're being traded so high, but here we are. And the Eagles are going to be considered the de facto losers. But I asked to take a step back and see if we can take a look at where they are. They're the third lowest traded stock right now in SimNFL at $24 a share. I think there could be a little bit of value there. The Sim Texans are the second lowest traded stock. There are some issues and some things going on there. We're going to talk about it because we're going to have to talk about it as it pertains to the market and as it pertains to how people are seeing what is happening. There's a lot of information that's coming out. A lot of it is very tough information to hear and to digest. We were at, you know, Shooting the Sports Ish, the sports market. We're going to wait until some more information comes out. It you know, it's bad. We get it. We're there. But we're going to wait for everything to come out, and then we're going to talk about the effects that all this may have on that stock and what could potentially happen. And then the Lions are the lowest traded stock right now. I kind of sneaky think there's some value at the Lions at $19 a share. So that's my last little bits of advice there. The Lions trading at $19.22, maybe something there for the long-term sitters. So appreciate you guys hanging out with us for another episode of The Sports Market. My name is Cam. You can find me on Twitter at CM Says Stuff. Please head over to symbol.app/shootsportsish. If you're not involved in the symbol market, take a look at it. It is 24/7 real movement, real money market where your favorite sports teams are turned into stock markets and you can buy and sell. And you can own shares in your favorite team, which I think is absolutely incredible. Please go check out the guys at Symbol Exchange on Twitter and youtube.com/Symbol Exchange. Please subscribe to them. Start locking into their daily videos. Get used to what's happening in the market, what the market sentiment is. Let the guys who are the CEOs and the owners of this company, let them be the ones to tell you what's going on. I definitely appreciate it if you keep me as a secondary reference on a weekly basis. Find me on Twitter. Let's talk stocks all day long. But definitely get over to Symbol Exchange and their YouTube page and get locked in with them because they have some great content coming out there. Absolutely love those guys and what they're being able to do right now. So with that being said, again, this is Cameron. This has been another episode of The Sports Market. Happy trading. And, you know, do your due diligence. Draw the right trend lines, pick a number in your head. And if it goes below that number, say I'm getting out, have a stop loss, you know, do your research and trade well, and happy trading. That's what it is. So we'll talk to you guys later.